I'm grateful that Jen did share that story. It is going to come back around as we talk about practicing generosity by sharing power. And as I thought about this idea of sharing power and what that looks like, the first thing that came to me was a children's book that I had as a kid that my parents probably still have memorized to this day. It was called The Big Jump and Other Stories. And I'm not going to tell you the other stories. I'm just going to tell you about The Big Jump. So The Big Jump, there was a king in a kingdom, and I have to warn you, this is kind of a scary story, because in this kingdom, only kings were allowed to have pets. Aren't you terrified? Can you imagine the horror? So there was a boy who really wanted a puppy, and the king had this great puppy. And when the boy saw the puppy, he went to the king, he said, "Is there anything I can do to have a puppy?" And the king said, "Well, if you want a puppy, you have to be like a king." And the boy said, "Well, gosh, how can I be like a king?" And the king said, "You have to do the big jump. You have to jump from here to the top of the castle, all the way up." And so the boy said, "What, to the top of the castle? How can you?" And he looked back, and the king had already jumped all the way up to the top. One giant leap. He said, "If you can do that, you can have a puppy." Now, I share this story to share that sometimes life is not fair. Sometimes only kings can have puppies. Sometimes the only way to get a puppy is by doing something impossible. And this is what we tell kids, right? How many times have you said to a kid, "Sorry, life isn't fair"? We just get used to it as adults. And as adults, we have to do things that just seem impossible. How many times have you been set a task that seems like you're never going to be able to do it? And sometimes you have to try to, the task before you is just putting a square peg in a round hole. Just can't do it. Just impossible. And I'm curious, how often have you thought that following Jesus and being a faithful Christian are impossible tasks? Day in and day out, follow all the rules of this book. So many rules, so many pitfalls to avoid if we want to try to be good people. We have to be doing all these things all of the time. It seems like an impossible task. And I think it is. But there's a big catch. There's a great big catch to doing these impossible tasks in the Bible. One that sustained me as I've learned more and more about all of the teachings that God has for us in here. And that catch is in Luke chapter 18. Which is a great chapter of the Bible to read. Highly recommend it. We're going to start at verse 18 of chapter 18. The story of the rich young ruler. And it starts and says, "A certain ruler asked Jesus, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone.'" It says, "You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he replied, "I have kept all these since my youth." Would take a break for a moment and say, "Yeah, right. Sure." Yeah. Jesus goes along with it, though. Jesus goes along with it. And he says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible for mortals is possible for God." That's it. There's the catch. We're not doing any of this on our own. We are not expected to get there by our own power. And how beautiful is that? Because we read and we learn week after week all of these things that God hopes for us, all these things Jesus teaches us to do. And here we have it, that we don't have to do this under our own power, that we're not expected to be perfect, but to strive for perfection, knowing God works with us. And that's great, it's wonderful news, but I'm still stuck with the message that he gives here. Right? That's great, but still you say, it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And for a country where the poorest among us are wealthier than 2/3 of the people in the rest of the world, that's problematic. We have to know, what do we do with that? How do we sit with this? And Jesus, his response to this is based on who he talks to. So look at who he talks to. He's talking to a ruler. This is somebody who governs, somebody who has power over other people, right? Somebody who's used to being in control. And what he's asking Jesus is, how do I get in control of my spiritual life as well? What do I do to inherit eternal life? Because I've got control over this one. And Jesus' response is to say, become like my disciples. Give up everything you have and come follow me. And that's what they did, right? You think of the fishermen. They left their boats, they left their nets, and they followed Jesus. And that sounds like something that's possible to do. And you would think that when the disciples overhear this, they're like, oh, great, box checked. I'm doing it. But that's not the response we hear, is it? Instead, the response we hear, those who heard it said, then who can be saved? His disciples were right there. They saw this, they heard Jesus say this, and their response is, that sounds impossible. So why is that? Well, for scholars and interpreters of this passage throughout the centuries, what they've seen is that this is not just about Jesus saying, give up the money that you have and come walk beside me. What he's saying is give up your passion, give up your desire for wealth, give up desire for control. He's saying, give up your love of money, give away your possessions, sell what you have and give it to the poor, and give up your love of power, come and follow me. Not just the things themselves, but your desire for them. And it's that giving up of power that I think is key. And it's not just about giving it up and throwing it over into the universe, right? It's about giving it over to God in particular, because God can do impossible things. The whole chapter, the whole Luke 18 chapter is about this kind of thing. So it kicks off with the parable of the unjust judge, which is the one where there's an unjust judge and a woman keeps coming and saying, grant me justice, grant me justice. And the judge wouldn't do it, but he gets so sick of the woman coming that he says, fine, I'll give in, just stop bothering me. And then it's followed by the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, where you have one person praying in the temple, this Pharisee, oh, thank goodness, I'm not like this tax collector. I'm amazing and do everything right. And the tax collector who's over here praying, God, have mercy on me, sinner. Jesus says, who's the righteous one? And then the story right before this is the one where Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. And the thread in all of these, we got the parable of the unjust judge, where it's the unjust judge who's granting justice because a woman was powerful enough to sway him. It's the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the tax collector is more righteous than the lofty Pharisee. And then the story of the children, where the adults have to get out of the way to let the children come through. The thread here is that in the kingdom of God, power doesn't work like we would expect it to. It looks differently because the kingdom of God is just upside down to the rest of our lives. And that's not an original Jesus teaching. That comes from the Old Testament, comes from our other scripture passage for today, which is another one of my favorites, Micah 6:8, which you might know. There's songs that go with this one. But I'm going to start in verse 6. Micah 6:6, he's talking about the same sort of thing. He says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Micah's telling us, there is no amount of power that you can have that can make your gift worthy of God all by itself. The highest king, the richest king, can offer tens of thousands of rivers of oil and God won't blink. But the humblest person can do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. The humblest person can give power over to God and recognize God's place in their lives. That humility is beautiful. It's a good virtue in and of itself, but look what it accomplishes. It's not just a symbolic act. It changes the world around us, the act of giving over power and humility. All of us have power to give. I want us to think about this. All of us have power to give. And obviously that's true if you have, you know, a lot of money like our rich ruler, if you're in a position of power like our rich ruler. But even the smallest of us, Jen showed this when she showed that last slide in the children's sermon. Those voices that those kids have, they inspired us. They brought our souls up to God with their voices. And isn't that the power kids have? Because let me tell you, there's not a king or a president or whatever in the world that won't stop what they're doing when a baby starts screaming, right? Doesn't matter who you are, you got to feed the baby, change the diaper. Even a baby has power to give. So I want you to think about what power you have. Think about the privileges you have. And I really want you to think about this. I'm going to give you a moment to think this through. Think about the privileges you have, the rights you have, the resources that are at your disposal, talents you have, your connections. What power do you have? Let's take just a moment of silence to think about this. You know, one of the things that I thought of, and it came to me last service, was I have the right to drive a car. You don't know how powerful that is until it gets taken away from you. We all have power, and I want you to imagine that whatever you thought of, imagine that these are tools in your toolbox, physical things that you can hold, right? And you can use these tools. You do use these tools day in and day out to accomplish what you need to get done. But what would it mean to take one of these tools and use it not to accomplish your own goals, but to accomplish God's own goals? What would that look like? Esther is one example of this. I told you I was going to get back to Esther. Esther is someone who, sure, Mordecai set her up for success, helped her to become queen, but she didn't know what type of power she was going to have. She didn't know what the situation would turn into. But when she discovered the importance of the power that she had at the right moment, she didn't hoard that power for herself. She gave it up for the sake of others, even at the cost of her own life. And God was in that sharing of power. I want you to think back to the story that I told at the beginning, the big jump. The king who was the only one who could have a puppy, just because he could jump to the top of the castle. That boy that he was with tried and tried to jump as high as the king. Couldn't do it. Pole vaulting, nothing. Didn't work. And then he had an epiphany. He realized that he could jump all the way to the top of the castle, one step at a time. Jump, 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 jump. All the way to the top. And he does this. He jumps all the way to the top of the castle, and there's the king, and he says, "Well, you did it. I didn't tell you how many jumps you had to take, did I?" And he got a puppy. I know you were holding your breath. He got the puppy. And that was a beautiful sharing of power. The king found a way to share power with this boy who found his own way to complete the challenge. But the boy did something even more beautiful. He took what he had learned and he shared it with his friends. And he said, "You know what? Not just the king, not just me, but all of us can do this. All of us can jump." And he changed their lives. And they all got to jump to the top of the castle and they all became kings and queens in their own right. How clever is that? The boy didn't hoard his power. He didn't love what he had more than he loved his friends. So we also have a God who rules over our lives with power, but who gives us a clever way to accomplish what seems like an impossible task, following all these rules and guidelines and teachings. And that way is to do it with God, and to do it one step at a time. We don't have to become desert monks. You don't have to sell your house and go live under a bridge or anything like that. But you do want to trust God more and more, day by day, step by step. That's what God asks of us, to continue walking humbly with God. And God asks us to share what we have with gratitude and generosity, more and more, day by day, step by step. Holding loosely to what we have, holding tightly onto God, and sharing our power with others, these are not impossible things to do, especially if we take them in those little chunks. We simply come to Jesus like little children, trusting in him to carry us the rest of the way. And if we do that, I believe that God will be able to do incredible things with and through us, beyond anything we thought possible. Amen.